Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thine will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Coming up in a few minutes on UK Church Community Radio, it's Pastor Mike Phillips with another challenging message from Lifespring Church in Nottinghamshire.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign, and 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home and 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land, as he lay his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
This is UK Church Community Radio.
It is essential that we understand what the gospel is, that we believe the gospel, that we hold on to the gospel, that we do not deviate from the gospel, and that we practice the gospel throughout the totality of our lives. Not just for a period of our lives, not just on our deathbed, but from the moment we become Christians, I believe that we should hold on to the teaching of the gospel of Christ. We're going to stay in that place of believing that God is going to pour out his spirit upon us this morning, and that God is going to meet needs in this place. So I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. It says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come,
buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is God's word for us this morning. Now, who do you think might have said this recently? He said, it is better to have a church that is wounded but on the streets than a church that is sick but closed in on itself. You might think that very possibly it was Billy Graham or some famous evangelist, Roy Todd or Barry Woodward, who said something like that, but in actual fact it wasn't. It was Pope Francis who said that recently. It's better to have a church that is wounded but on the streets than a church that is sick but closed in on itself. Now there's only one person who can turn a church outwards. And it's not you or me, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I want to speak to you about receiving the Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty for more of God? Are you hungry to see God do something different in your life? Are you eager to break out of the box that you are currently in and break into something new? In the words of Jacqueline, I got a text from her this morning and it said, we are praying for an uncommon anointing in the church today. We are praying for an uncommon anointing of the Spirit of God. You see, this morning there is a river that is flowing. Jesus said, come to me. And Isaiah says, come all you who are thirsty. Where does he want you to come? He wants you to come to the river. Amen? It says in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, it says, then the angel showed me the river. Amen? He showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, that is heaven, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. It's when we get a glimpse of this river and what it represents, and when we get a glimpse of that river, it's that river that we want flowing in our lives and in our churches and in our communities and into our bodies to bring us healing and deliverance. We want to get a foretaste of this water. In actual fact, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get a foretaste of heaven. You get a foretaste of the life that is heaven and the life that is to come. So we get a foretaste of this and the healing and the fruit that it produces. this morning, are you thirsty for the water of life? Are you thirsty for the Spirit of God? You see, this river comes from heaven, and it's an eternal river. I have three things I want to tell you about this river this morning. We're going to pray for people. Number one, it's inexhaustible. Number two, it's pure. And number three, it's powerful. It's inexhaustible, it's pure, and it's powerful. There's a bottomless, infinite, endless supply. The supply of God's Spirit never comes to an end. That means that this river is limitless. It's a forever flowing river. It's there to meet your need, whatever that need is, and whenever that need arises. It alone can satisfy your thirst. However, no matter how much money you have, you cannot buy it with money. It cannot be bought. That's what the scripture says this morning. It's water without money and without cost. You cannot buy it. But while it cannot be bought with money, the supply is not wide open to everybody. Hear this morning. It's not a wide open supply to just anybody. Number one, it's to those who come. Yes. Number two, it's to those who are thirsty. Yes. Number three, it's to those who are needy. Yes. Number four, it's to those who listen. Yes. Number of times this morning, the Bible says, give ear and listen. Most people listen to their emotions, and they're listening to their souls, and they're living on their wits. Yes. But God wants you to listen to the Spirit. Yes. And to be guided by the Spirit and to flow with the river of life. Many things will try to stop you from coming to this river. Your mind will try to stop you. Your academic pride will try to stop you. Your thoughts will try to stop you. Your circumstances will try to stop you. Your box that you're in will try to stop you. And it will say God could never do this in your life. But it's when you get a glimpse of heaven that you see the possibilities of what God can do in your life. It's that river flowing that will help our church, that will help our homes, that will help our physical bodies as our lives get a taste of the power of heaven. I'm speaking this morning about the power of heaven that God wants to bring into your life. Number one, it's pure. This river is pure. Like everything else in heaven, this river is as clear as crystal. When God gives a gift, it's perfect, it's pure, and it's sufficient. This water can clean you. This water can purify you. This water can give you the life that you so desperately are longing for on the inside. Water can satisfy an extremely thirsty person on a hot and a humid day. Is your life parched? Is your life hot and humid? Well, God wants to say to you this morning, I will satisfy you. The water will cleanse you from anything from which you could not be cleansed by the law of Moses. Amen? There are things that we cannot get rid of in our lives that seem to cling to us. There are sins, there are habits, there are ways of thinking. Well, this water can cleanse you of anything from which the law of Moses could not cleanse you. This river, it waters the tree of life. The tree of life is Jesus. Jesus draws his life from this river, and he wants you also to draw your life and your supply not from dry cisterns that have no water or that have polluted and dirty water. He wants you to draw your life and your energy and your power from a river that is absolutely pure and uncontaminated, and that will satisfy you. This river represents the provision for human need. It can supply physical It can supply healing for physical illnesses. It can give provision for sorrow and for grief, for emotional problems, for physical burdens, and for financial problems. This water will not and cannot be polluted. The pure water of God's Spirit, it will not mix with disobedience. The Bible says God gives His Holy Spirit to those who are obedient. It doesn't mix with disobedience. It doesn't mix with the occult or anything to do with the dark side. There is a complete separation between light and darkness, between the water that God gives and the water that the devil provides. This will not mix with doubt and insecurity and inadequacy. The flow of these things, the flow of disobedience, the flow of doubt, the flow of the occult, these things need to be halted in our lives so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God. A single droplet from this river will break the power of any curse in your life. Amen? A single droplet will break the power of any curse or any sin in your life. So we need to develop a clear, unceasing thirst for the pure water of God's Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, if I can refer back to it, Peter preached. And after he had preached about Jesus as the Messiah, and the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead, and that he in Jesus only was forgiveness of sins, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this water is not for everybody. This water is for those who repent, who turn around, who turn away from disobedience, who turn away from the dark side and occult practices in their lives, who turn away from doubt and unbelief and put their whole unbridled trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And what will happen to you? The Bible says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this pure water cleanses those who are laden with the sins of disobedience and the sins of the involvement with the dark side. You will receive the forgiveness of your sins. So it's pure. It doesn't mix. Number two, it's powerful. Water is powerful. Water can change the landscape of a country. And this water will change the landscape of your life. It will change your priorities. It will change your plans. It will send you into the streets or even out into the mission fields. You will do things that you never dreamed you were capable of. Some will travel, some will speak, some will lead, others will administrate, others will just simply help and find great fulfillment in enabling others to fulfill their ministries. You will break out of things that you think you can't do. Amen?
Well, it's time to put the kettle on and take a quick break. But don't go anywhere. Part two of that message will be coming up in just a few minutes.
There is a call that resounds in my ear. It's calling me deeper, deeper. Breaks every fetter and removes all my fears. It's calling me deeper. calling me deep, deep, deeper, deeper. It's calling me deeper, deeper, deeper. Deeper,
deeper, and it breaks everything.
Whoa.
It moves all my fears.
Calling me deeper,
it's calling me deeper,
so much
deeper. You see the place that I'm in can no longer contain my destiny.
Ooh.
To the call inside of me,
it's calling me deeper, 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 deeper. It's calling me deeper, deeper, deeper.
The power.
power of this water flowing in your life, you will break through limitations. You will begin to operate outside the box. That in itself will create a new box, and God will challenge you to break out of that box as well. I have spent my whole life breaking out of boxes. No wonder William loves sitting in boxes. But I have spent my life breaking out of boxes. I was boxed in by my family. I was boxed in by my education. I was boxed in by my career. I was boxed in by my church. And on every occasion, by the power of God and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God gave me the grace and the power to be able to break out. And that's the faith that God wants to put in you today. You may be boxed in by your sickness. You may be boxed in by your family. You may be boxed in by your job and by your career. You may be boxed in by your disability. But God wants you to look outside the box. And God wants you to break out of your limitations. There are no limitations on your life. Hallelujah. Some will speak in tongues. I want you all, Paul said, to speak in tongues. This is a new form of prayer. It is a gift from God, and it's directed to God. And the wonderful thing about the gift of tongues is that it enables the flow of the river of life in your life. Because when you pray in tongues, the river of life begins to flow. The Bible says that the gift of tongues is given for your edification. How do you get edified? You get edified by the flow of God's presence and the flow of God's life in your life. So don't allow academic pride to stop you. And as you prayed for this morning for the gift of tongues, put aside your pride, put aside the limitations that you put upon yourself because you say, I could never speak in tongues. Yes, you can speak in tongues. All who are baptized in the Spirit of God can speak in tongues. So this river is powerful. It gives you power to operate in the gifts. It gives you power to speak in tongues. But perhaps most importantly, it gives you power to witness to Jesus Christ. The result of a thirsty life is found in the promise of Jesus. He said that he would clothe you with power from on high. And it says in Luke 24, verse 49, it says, then he opened their minds. How we need to have our minds opened, first of all, by the Spirit of God, to be able to see that God can use us powerfully, that we are not useless, but actually that we are precious and we are chosen and we are instruments of God's grace and his love for our families and for our communities. So he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Then he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And the result of that power for the apostles was that they went out onto the streets and they preached about Jesus. And they turned the whole world upside down. The power of the Spirit turns our lives upside down. And so we will know nations that we don't currently know, or peoples that we don't currently know, or people who don't currently come to church, who will come running to us. That's what the scripture says. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not. So we call people in our community and in our area that we currently don't know, that currently don't know us, we call them to come to us, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with his splendor. So why do people come? Because of the anointing. Yeah, not because we are clever, not because we've got a nice building. The building is just simply to accommodate more people. But he will come because of the anointing of the Spirit of God that is upon us. So how are we going to receive this morning? Well, first of all, we're going to come. Jesus said, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The message of the gospel is not about coming to a church. It's not about holding religious services. The message of the gospel is about coming to a person. It's that person who pours out the Holy Spirit upon you. It's not about a ceremony. It's about coming to Jesus. And so putting your faith in Jesus. So come to Jesus. Come with thirst. My scripture is John 7:37-38. This was the scripture that was shared with me on the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. This happened on the Feast of Tabernacles, popular feast in Judaism. And each day of the festival included a water ceremony in which a procession of priests went to the Gihon spring, which was outside the gates of Jerusalem. From the water of the Gihon spring flows into Hezekiah's tunnel, which I have walked through 30 years ago a couple of times, and it flows into the pool of Siloam. And so the priests used to go to this spring, and they used to draw this pure water from the spring, and they used to take it back to the temple, and the priest would stand at the gate of the temple, and he would pour this clear water down the steps of the temple. And on the last day of the feast, they did this 7 times. And on the last time they did it, Jesus stood up on the steps of the temple. And they were surrounded by people who sang, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And Jesus stood up, and it says there that he shouted in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, come to me and drink. In other words, don't come to this water. I am the water of life. I am the one who's going to satisfy you. I'm the one who's got that pure water. He was in actual fact telling them, I am your provision. I am your supply. I am your Messiah. Come to me because I hold the future in my hand. I hold your future in my hand. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. Come to this water and drink from him. You have been drinking, God wants to say to somebody here this morning, you've been drinking from a polluted supply. And that water hasn't been doing you any good because that water is destroying your life. It's damaging your body, it's damaging you emotionally. And Jesus wants to say this morning, I want you to turn your life around and I want you to come to me because I am the one who can fill you with the water of life. So this morning, come to him and drink. It's my scripture because I remember 40 years ago, whenever it was, I was thirsty. And one night, Billy O'Mahony, friend of mine at college, spoke to me at the table where we were sitting. And he shared this scripture with me where Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And boy, was I thirsty because I was parched. My life was was I had no abuse in my life. I wasn't an alcoholic. I wasn't any of those things. But I just simply had a thirst and a hunger for God. I wanted to know God. I didn't just want to know about God. Yeah, I wanted to know God. And he shared that scripture with me. And I recognized immediately that this was what I was looking for. Maybe you're here this morning, and in these words of Jesus, you recognize this is what you are looking for, because this is what your life is about. This is where your life is going to start making sense. I went up to my room afterwards, and as I was sitting at my desk, suddenly, and you know when this happens, God came into my room. I don't want to freak anybody out here this morning, because this isn't weird to me. It's not weird. This is what actually happened. The Spirit of God came into my room, and like power after power of the way of the Spirit of God just simply swept over me. I was blown away. I never had an experience like it in the past, before that. And while I have known God since, I have never known an experience like the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I've had. Because this water that I experienced, I'm talking about it this morning, and I can talk about it from personal experience. It flowed over me. Wave after wave after wave of the Spirit of God flowed over me. And I believe it's that deposit that God has put within me that has enabled me to break through and to break out and to do the things in life that I've been able to break out of, and the things that I've been able to do, whether it's my education, my background, my church, the limitations that other people have put upon me. And let me say, I am still working at breaking out, because I feel God is still speaking to me. I'm 65 years of old next year. Years of age, rather. Next year. Yeah? But God is speaking. I'm a spring chicken. God is speaking to me. I have no intention of giving up. One day I lay down this job here, doesn't mean to say I'm going to retire. There is no such thing in my book as retirement. Amen? So I'm still looking to break out. So come this morning to Jesus. Come with thirst. Come with faith. Put your faith in God. Faith involves asking. Luke chapter 11, 13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Will you come this morning with thirst? Will you come with faith? Will you come asking and say, "Jesus, I just want more of this water of life that flows from heaven. I want it flowing into my life. I want it flowing in my family. I want it flowing in my church. I want it flowing in my community. I want it flowing all around me. I want to be a receptacle and a dispenser at the same time of this wonderful water of life. This water that is boundless, that is endless, that is infinite. This water that is pure, that is clear as crystal, that will cleanse you and purify you of all from which the law of Moses could not cleanse you. And this water that is powerful, that will help you to break through and to break out and to break into and to break anything that you want to in life. Because that's what the Spirit of God helps you to do." Amen. Will you enlarge your mind this morning? Will you say, "I am going to break out of my box"?